prayer one for another. We're at Exodus 15, if you want to go there in your Bibles this morning. We have been studying for the past 6 weeks this question, does God test His children? We've been looking at them as they've occurred in the Bible chronologically. So we first looked at the obedience test, which of course happened in the garden, and we looked at it in Exodus 16. And then we looked at Job, the suffering test. Does God test us with suffering? He absolutely does. Then we looked in the life of Abraham and Sarah and saw the patience test. Does God make us wait sometimes? And we looked in Luke 18 as well and saw that yes, He does. And then, of course, the sacrifice test, where God asked Abram to sacrifice his only son. And does God ask us to sacrifice? Yes. Last week, we looked at the protection test, where God, right after delivering the Israelites from Egypt, brought them up to the Red Sea to where they were trapped, and they had to trust God for protection. And unfortunately, they failed the test, and they murmured and complained, but that was a test. Will God protect us? Will God watch over us? And the answer is yes, He will. But it'll also bring us into situations where we have no choice but to trust Him and wait on Him. And that's similar to what we look at today, the second test that God brought on Israel after the Red Sea. I'm going to call this the provision test, where God tested them with the question, will God meet our needs? And that's here in Exodus 15, starting in verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters, and the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. And they took their journey from Elim. And all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Now if you go to chapter 17, verse 1, and all the congregation, children of Israel, journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses, and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses, and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? So I've entitled it, Thou Shalt Smite the Rock. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts to your word this morning and teach us. Lord, just encourage our hearts that you love us, that you care about us. And Lord, you will meet our needs as you promised in your word. And may we learn to be children of faith, to trust you and to know that you're going to test us. You're going to bring us into situations where it seems like our needs are not going to be met. And those are the times when you shine through. And so, Lord, I pray for your perfect will in every life. I pray for your miraculous working in hearts and for the Holy Spirit, Lord, to have free course in this service. And Jesus Christ, our Savior, to be magnified. We ask it in his wonderful name. Amen. And so you can see that right after the Red Sea, which was an amazing miracle, God immediately tested Israel again. And they failed again. How sad. But we see here in Exodus 15, verse 22, God took them 3 days from the crossing of the Red Sea to a specific place where there was no water. Now God was leading them, remember, with the cloud and the fire, the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, telling them exactly where to go and when to stop and when to move. And God intentionally brought them to a place where there was no water. Why? To test them. He even said so there in verse 25. He says, there he proved them. And so when they came to this place, they couldn't drink of the waters that they did find because they were bitter. So these are the same Israelites that had just spent an entire chapter singing a song of victory about God bringing them through the Red Sea and destroying Pharaoh's army. And then, they failed the protection test. And they turn around in verse 24 and immediately murmur. They murmur against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Well, first of all, is Moses the one to murmur to? Because Moses is a man. But we do that sometimes, don't we? We look to men instead of God for our needs. And men are always going to let us down. But murmuring is never the answer. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:10, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." God hates murmuring, and yet that was the number one thing that angered God about Israel's behavior in the desert was their murmuring, their complaining, because it is an insult to an all-powerful God. When we murmur, we're saying he's making a mistake, he doesn't know how to take care of us, or he's not planning to take care of us. In other words, he's not good. And all of these things are not true. So they had just sung a song of victory, brings them to the place where there's nothing to drink. They find bitter water, no water that they can drink. Are we going to face some bitter times in the Christian life? Absolutely. It is what's going to happen. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all, the Bible says. God can make the bitter sweet. But God's going to test us. It says there in verse 25, "He cried unto the Lord. The Lord showed him a tree which God cast into the waters. The waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance. And there he proved them." God's going to prove us. That word "prove" means to test. When you go out and prove something, you're testing it. You're confirming. Like if you go out and prove a car or whatever, you're testing it to show that it meets your requirements or whatever. God's going to prove us. God's going to try us. The Bible says, "The Lord trieth the righteous" in Psalm 11:5. And so in verse 26, he said, "If," this is God speaking, it's Moses speaking, "if thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians." God's saying, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." Now, if you're born again this morning, God has brought you the most amazing gift of healing in the universe. Amen? He's healed you of your sin problem. Could there be any better healing than that? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," he says in Psalm 23:1. God is the God that healed us of our sin problem. Is he the same God that can also heal us of all of our other issues? Is he the same God that can meet our needs? Yes. We trusted him to save us from hell. We trusted him to heal us from our amazing sin condition that was leading us to hell. But then we often won't trust him for the little things. And that's the provision test. God's going to bring us into situations where it seems like there's no answer, there's no way for this need to be met. And those are the times when our faith gets built. Because those are the times when we just have no choice but to trust Him and watch Him work, and He always does. And it's what He did for them. It says in verse 27, they came to Elim where there were 12 wells of water. Why didn't God take them there first? Why not go straight from the Red Sea to the 12 wells of water? Why first go to a place where there wasn't anything to drink, and then when they did find some water, it was bitter and had to be healed by this tree? Why not go straight to the 12 wells? Well, we know the answer. This is all a lesson. This is God testing them. This is God proving them. This is God growing them. And He does the same thing in our lives. And often before we get to the wells, we're going to end up in a desert. And we're going to wonder, what now? Is God going to take care of me? Absolutely. And we need to trust Him to do so. Now, these wells of water, of course, are very representative of salvation. Jesus told us, if you turn over to John chapter 4, that when we get saved, we receive water that lasts forever. This was His discourse with the woman at the well at Samaria here in John chapter 4. Remember, He sat down by the well when the woman was there. And Jesus says to her in John 4:14, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus saying is when we get saved, we receive this amazing everlasting life, which He's likening to springs of living water. It's one of our hymns. In other words, God gave us eternal life. God meets this amazing need for our eternal destiny. Therefore, why should we doubt or question that He can meet our earthly needs? And Israel had yet to learn this lesson. And sometimes Christians do too. And so you would think, God brought them to this place of 12 wells of water. He provided. He healed the other waters. You would think that would be it. Israel has finally learned God's going to take care of them. So next chapter, Exodus chapter 16, we go there. Verse 1. They just went and saw God take care of them, miraculously heal the bitter water, bring them to the 12 wells of water in the middle of the desert. Here in chapter 16, you would think it would be another song of victory. Verse 1, and they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation, children of Israel, came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day in the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation, not just some, the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured. Complained. Again. Murmured. This time about food. The Lord, children of Israel, said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. Huh. I thought they were slaves. I thought they'd been crying unto God for 400 years to deliver them from their slavery. But now as they reflect back on their days in Egypt, they're saying they sat by the flesh pots and ate bread to the full. It was just so great. We wish we were back there in slavery. And ye have brought us as forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Now, we don't need to read the rest of the chapter because we did our first sermon in this series. What did God do? He didn't rebuke them. He didn't punish them. They're still a picture of a brand new baby Christian. They just got delivered out of Egypt. They just came through the Red Sea. They're just learning. What did God do? Gave them manna. And we read about the manna. And God gave them manna and He gave them two rules. Remember, we looked at that 6 weeks ago. And they broke both of the rules, of course. But will God meet our needs? That was the question. That's what He's trying to teach them. Is God going to meet our needs? Is God going to take care of us? Yeah, he delivered us from Egypt. We asked him to, but is he going to meet our needs? And Israel's answer is, well, of course not. He brought us out here to kill us because there wasn't enough room for grace for all of us. What a silly statement, and yet they keep saying it. By the way, this happened in the New Testament. If you go to John chapter 6, just quickly. Anybody ever heard of the story of Jesus, the feeding of the 5,000? I think we all have. But there's just a little passage here in John. It's only in John, referring to this feeding of the 5,000 miracle. That shows us that Jesus even gave the disciples the provision test. Verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he knew himself what he would do. Well, we can't doubt whether or not that was a test. He says it was a test. This he did to prove him. He says to Philip, all right, we got all these people out here. 5,000 men plus women and children. That's a lot of people. Philip, what are we going to do? How are we going to feed all these people? He didn't ask the question because he didn't know the answer. He did know the answer. He's going to miraculously provide. He asked the question to prove Philip. You think God's going to bring us into situations where it looks like there's no earthly way for a need to be met? Absolutely. So that he can ask us the question, what's God going to do? Our answer should be, God's going to take care of it, because that's what God does. And by the way, Philip did okay. I mean, he didn't do as bad as the Israelites and say, oh, woe is us. Nothing like that. He basically said, well, there's a little bit of food here, and that's not a lot, but you're God. And we know what Jesus did. He took that little lunch and fed all those people. But not until he asked Philip the question. So go back to Exodus 17 now. So they've come out of the Red Sea. Test number one, will God protect us? He protected them. He killed the army. He brought them through the Red Sea. He brings them to a place where there's bitter water. Test number two. Will God meet our needs? Then he brings them to a place where they begin to complain about having food. Test number three. What's God do? Provides manna. Then, here in Exodus 17, you know what he does? He brings them to another place where there's no water. Verse 1. And all the congregation of children of Israel. This is, by the way, after the manna has been provided. Now every day bread is falling out of the sky, literally. And all the congregation of children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water. God brought them to Rephidim. Remember that. God is leading them every step of the way with the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. God tells them when to pitch up, when to set up camp. He tells them where to go, where to stop. He led them to this spot. Wonder why? Of all the spots, why to a spot where there's nothing to drink? We already know the answer. Verse 2, wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. So here we have about 3 million people come to one man and say, can you give us something to drink? Yeah, I'm sure Moses can give 3 million people water. It just shows how silly they were thinking. Moses said, why chide ye with me? I'm just a man. You all want some water to drink. Why are you chiding with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? Interesting. You're chiding with me, but you're actually tempting God. If you go to Deuteronomy 6, this is also how it's referred to later. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. We cannot look to man to meet our needs, although we often do. We have our jobs. We might have our savings account or whatever, and we often think, yeah, I'm okay, I'm set, I've got a good job, my needs are going to... We need to be always looking to the Lord to meet our needs. Because we can lose that job, we can lose that savings account, but we never lose the Lord. And if we're saved, we're one of His children, He's going to take care of us. Notice Deuteronomy 6:16, this is Moses referring back to this event. He says, "Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted Him in Massah." So now God's referring to their murmuring and complaining as tempting God. Think about that. Do we want to tempt God? Doesn't sound very wise. But when we complain and murmur and begin to question whether or not God will meet our needs, that's exactly what we're doing. We're tempting God. He says it Himself. And so back to our passage, Exodus 17, verse 3. "The people thirsted there for water. The people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" Yep, God delivered us and worked all those miracles and worked all those plagues to kill us. Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? No. And I like what Moses did. He cried unto the Lord saying, "What shall I do unto this people? For they be ready to stone me." Almost ready to stone me. He just came to God and said, "Lord, I know you told me to lead these people, but they're a handful." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. And behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb." God is saying, I never left. I've always been here. I'm with you. Who do you think is controlling this pillar of fire? Who do you think is controlling this pillar of cloud? Who do you think is dropping bread from out of the sky every day for you to eat? I'm here. And God says the same to us. He says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." In Hebrews 13:5. Jesus promises, "Lo, I'm with you even at the end of the world." In Matthew 28:20. He promised to never leave us. He's always with us. And so He says to him, "Thou shalt smite the rock." So He's about to teach them yet another lesson. Not only that He will meet our needs, but that our needs are going to come from a smitten rock. Amen? And we all know who the rock represents. "Thou shalt smite the rock." Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10:10 and see what this rock means. Because at the time, I guarantee you, the Israelites didn't understand it, but we can look back and we can understand that that rock represents Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:10, the Bible says, "Neither murmur ye," or not 10:10, 10:4, sorry, "and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." There it is. They drank of a rock, and the rock was Christ. Jesus Christ is the rock. He is the rock of our salvation. We know that. And He has been smitten on the cross for our sins that He might be the one to provide everything for us. Initially, everlasting life, springs of living water, but He's the one that will meet our need. The Bible says in Romans 8:32, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" In other words, the same God that was willing to give His only begotten Son on our behalf, how will He not now that we're His children give us everything that we need? He will. The smitten rock will meet our needs. The Lord Jesus Christ will take care of us. And Jesus promised to do so. Go to John 4 again, this time in verse 10. Where Jesus is, again, He's talking to the woman at the well. And I want you to see what He told her. John 4:10, He said, "Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that it saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water." And so the rock provides living water. Moses smote the rock and out came water to just a little bit, just enough for 3 million people to drink and their cattle. I'd say that was a lot of water. And later on, we know the story where they found another place where there was nothing to drink. This was after the tests were finished, and then God brought them to these places, and when they failed the test, they got punished for it because they were supposed to have grown in their faith. But we know what happened then. God says to Moses after that, just speak to the rock. But the people made Moses so angry, he smote the rock twice. And for that one thing, he wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. And if you study it out, it's why. Because the rock only had to be smitten once. Jesus doesn't have to die on the cross again and again and again. Now you just got to speak. Now you just got to call on him and he'll save you. Call on him and he'll meet your needs. But he doesn't have to be smitten again. So he destroyed that illustration by smiting the rock. But that's another story. But Jesus promises, Philippians 4:19, my God shall provide all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If God said it, it's true. All your need. God promised to meet all of our needs. Jesus said in Matthew 6, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. It's not a surprise to God that we have needs. And he promises to meet them. So back to our passage, we'll finish there in Exodus 17:7. The Bible says, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Go to Psalm 81:7 and we'll close this morning. Psalm 81:7. My friend, we should never ever ask this question. Is the Lord among us or not? That angered God more than just about anything. It tempts God when we ask that question. Psalm 81, verse 7, referring back to that event, the Bible says, thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Just referring back to this Exodus 17 test, God says, I proved thee at these waters. I gave you water out of a rock. I gave you bread from heaven. I gave you sweet waters where there were bitter. I brought you through the Red Sea. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to meet your needs. God just wanted them to learn that. And they didn't. They didn't. God wants us to learn the same. How do we learn that lesson? The way we learn the lesson isn't for God to make us all millionaires, by the way. Because that would just make us all spoiled and selfish little brats who wouldn't pray. The way we learn the lesson is God brings us to points in our lives where we have no other means but to just walk by faith, like Christians are commanded to do, and say, Lord, this is yours. I trust you to meet this need. I trust you to take care of me because you promised you would. That's when we learn. When he brings us to these places, like he brought them, where it requires God's intervention for the needs to be met. And that's when we grow, Lord willing. Hopefully we don't murmur and complain and blame God. Hopefully instead we trust God and grow in our faith. The protection test. Thou shalt smite the rock. You know what? The rock was smitten for you and me. And the rock is there. And we're standing on him. And he's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He's promised to always meet our needs. We need to believe that to be true. And when God brings us to these times of provision tests, what do we need to do? Trust the Lord. Never murmur. Never complain, but trust the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you.